Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. In an effort to relieve the overwrought healthcare system in the province, pharmacists in British Columbia can now prescribe drugs for minor ailments like urinary tract infections, allergies, and indigestion, as well as contraception, meaning patients won't have to visit a doctor first. I'm speaking with North Coast MLA Jennifer Rice today, who is also the Parliamentary Secretary for Rural Health, about how this change will cut down on wait times in doctors' offices, as well as help rural British Columbians who don't have access to a nearby hospital or walk-in clinic. And my colleague Dan Messick is on the news today, sharing a conversation he had with CICK's own station manager Glenn Ingram about this radio station's funding drive happening this week until June 30th. Stay tuned.
My name is Jennifer Rice, and I'm the MLA for North Coast here in Simcan Territory in Prince Rupert. And I'm also BC's Parliamentary Secretary for Rural Health.
So starting June 1st of this year, people in BC can get prescriptions from their pharmacists for contraceptives and medications to treat 21 minor ailments. Can you give me the scope of what those minor ailments are?
Yeah, so we're talking about minor ailments such as, you know, allergies or menstrual pain, mild acne, sprains. Definitely the birth control pill is included in that. Yeah, minor ailments such as that.
What kind of freedoms, or how does it change this approach for people, especially in rural and remote communities in BC, who typically have, it's quite a barrier to get to see your doctor. But for contraception and the birth control pill, how important is that for pharmacists to be able to prescribe this now?
So I think it's really important to women in particular. It's really important for rural BC in particular, because I could use the example here in Prince Rupert with my own home community, where we don't have a walk-in clinic. And therefore, sometimes our ER department or emergency room gets bogged down with a lot of residents seeking care for minor ailments, such as those ones that we listed, like allergies or acne or yeast infection, et cetera. And so it sort of relieves the burden on the ER departments, which can be overstretched, shortens the wait times. But similarly, for our physician's offices, you know, it might take a while to get in to see your physician. And so we can sort of preserve some of those doctor's appointments for more critical issues and have people use their local pharmacist for those common ailments that people experience every day. And the birth control pill, I mean, all I can say is this is something that women have been asking for some time. So I'm pretty excited that our government has been finally able to deliver on that. I think it provides easier access to contraception for women. And again, in the rural communities where, you know, we don't necessarily have a plethora of walk-in clinics to choose from, if there are any. You can go to your grocery store with your local pharmacist inside and, you know, pick up your groceries and also pick up your birth control. I think it's very, very progressive. It should be noted, though, like not all contraceptives can be prescribed by your pharmacist. So, for example, if you use a IUD, those are things that you would still need to go in to see your physician about. But it does opens up a lot of other opportunities for other types of birth control, such as the various types of the pill.
So, will there be an examination room? Because I know when I got my COVID shots and boosters, for instance, it was kind of just another little area. But will there be a more private area for people to be able to see and speak to the pharmacist?
There are not going to be examination rooms like you would see in a physician's office, like with the bed, et cetera. But there will be a private area. And a lot of these pharmacies already have those areas, such as the one you just described when you went for your vaccination, your COVID boosters. And yeah, so they'll definitely be private, but, you know, not a full-on renovation project. although I do know of some pharmacies that are doing minor renovations to accommodate that, your privacy will still be respected. And again, it's for minor ailments. So if there's something where you needed a full-on examination, that wouldn't be appropriate to go to your pharmacist for. So you would go to a doctor's office or your nurse practitioner or the hospital.
Now, how quickly has this rolled out? I mean, this change took place on June 1st. So is it like most, any or all local pharmacies in BC that now you can go to your pharmacy for these prescriptions?
Well, out of the 1,400 community pharmacies we have in BC, 1,100 of them have already indicated that they want to participate in this program. And on our first day, on June 1st, we had 850 patients access the pharmacist care for the minor ailments prescriptions. And I'm sure that that's, you know, that number is increasing significantly by the day. It's certainly something that pharmacists have been asking for and are enthusiastic, a service that they're enthusiastic to provide. And so I think generally the uptake is going to be considered very good. As of yet, that is the case.
And now this is part of the province-wide health human resources strategy, which began in 2017. Could you tell me what the main tenets of this strategy are?
Okay, so the strategy we're talking about is the Health Human Resources Strategy. Mm-hmm. It's organized around four cornerstones, which is, you know, recruitment, retention, training, and redesigning the healthcare system. So there's 70 different actions that advance our vision for healthcare, you know, obviously with a focus on putting people first, you know, fostering satisfaction in the workplace and using innovation to make sure health services are much more accessible to everyone in BC mm-hmm. for right now, but of course, into the future. So we've done quite a few things since 2015. We've increased the training seats for health professions such as doctors, nurses, midwives, healthcare assistants, pharmacy technicians. We've expanded the scopes of practice, including a pharmacist, but other scopes of practice for other healthcare providers like nurse practitioners. We are setting up a second medical school at SFU's Surrey campus. And we're making it much faster and easier for those that are internationally educated to live and work in BC. So we've been streamlining some of the typical red tape that they must face in order to be licensed and be practicing in British Columbia. So, you know, those are some of the things that we're taking on, but there's no one strategy that solves the health human resources crisis that we're facing, but this is one tool of the many in that toolbox, as we could call it. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you just naturally answered my last question, which was basically about mitigating the healthcare worker shortage in the province. So I appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Was there anything that we didn't touch on that you think is important for listeners to know? And I mean, listeners are the people in these rural and remote communities who, if they're hearing about this for the first time, may have questions. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for those people to know?
Well, I think, you know, some of those items that I just outlined with our, you know, 70-point health human resources strategy are ways of sort of relieving the burden on healthcare, no matter where you live, whether that's in the urban center or in the rural areas of the province. But we've learned things through COVID in particular, how we've expanded virtual care and telehealth has really ramped up. And so, you know, so those areas of focus are still being expanded upon to better provide services for those that live in the rural areas. And then, of course, when that's not appropriate, you know, part of my role as the Parliamentary Secretary for Rural Health is to examine how rural residents can access healthcare much more easier. And so looking at assistance, travel assistance, how we can improve upon that. And so that is something that I'm looking at. We have sort of announcements coming up in the future that, you know, will make life more easier or make life much easier for those living in the rural areas to access the healthcare that they equally deserve. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited about the role that I have as the Parliamentary Secretary for Rural Health. I've lived rurally for over 20 some years now. And so, you know, I represent rural communities. Like, I live in Prince Rupert, which is the largest center, but I also represent rural and remote communities, those on Haida Gwaii, all through the Central Coast, the Valakula Valley. And so I feel like I have a good understanding of some of the challenges we face rurally, but I've also lived some of those challenges. And we're not alone. I know many of us think we're very unique, which we are, of course. But the health human resource crisis that we're facing is not just something that rural BC is facing, urban BC is facing, but also nationally and internationally. So we have big challenges that are global in nature, even though you might feel them particularly painfully locally. But we're certainly doing our very best to address this. And as I outlined, we've had many action items to sort of to take on these challenges. But of course, we recognize that we have so much more work to do, and we're committed to doing that work.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for inviting me, and thanks for, you know, taking on this particular issue.
What's your name?
It's Glenn Ingram.
Glenn, there's something special going on at CACK right now. Tell me what's going on.
It's activity. It's bustling. It's bustling activity because it's our membership drive week. And it's like a first, every year we do a membership drive. And this year it's just a wee bit different because this year we're going to do for a whole year of programmers and volunteers calling out on the radio, getting people to throw $25 at us.
And what do they get for throwing $25 at you? And do they get different things if they throw it at different points on your body?
It's sort of like, yeah, like it's a knife throwing thing. No, it's sort of a, okay, what do you get? You get a membership, as we're a nonprofit. This is one of the ways we get the money that we need to run this volunteer radio station. So we take that money and we put it towards the headphones and the microphones and everything else that we need to train all the volunteers up and put them on the radio. So $25 for the person who's putting that money forward, it becomes a member. And that means they're a voting member for the radio station. That means they can show up to the AGM and vote for the people that they want to manage the radio station. As well, what's the cool aspect of it is that you become a part of CICK. You get a what we call a swag bag. So you get a unique bumper sticker that changes every year. You get a unique a thank you gift, and this year it's a little jar of honey from a local aviary. And we're just it's just such an exciting way to be a part of a really lively and vibrant part of Smithers.
Yeah, no doubt. Now there's this coveted lifetime membership that I've heard much about, but I've never indulged myself. What does the lifetime membership mean, and how many lifetime members are there?
I'm starting to lose count. The lifetime membership is for those people who really want to step up beyond that $25 amount and wants to support us in a financial way that has a bigger impact. And there's, I think Taylor Backrack was our first lifetime member. And since then, we've had quite a few lifetime members. Matter of fact, we even have got to an afterlife membership. We have an Al Gamble bathroom. So the afterlife, you get a Al Gamble's still alive, by the way.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, just to clear for everybody out there listening. The afterlife happens to be as a thank you to the person who gives us the level of funding. We gave them a little plaque on our bathroom door. And so now every time we go to the bathroom, we give a little tribute to Mr. Al Gamble.
Think of Al when we go to the toilet.
Yeah, now
good
it's
stuff.
Official.
Nice.
Before it was just voluntary, and now it's official.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you could do that all through, you could support the station by calling the station at 250-847-8769. You'll either talk to somebody in person who will help you get your membership, or you'll get instructions on the voicemail. Or you can go to our website at smithersradio.com, and you'll see an option to support the station right from there. The more people that we get involved with the station, the more it represents the community that we're part of. So let's get that. Let's do it.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.